Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. We will be frequently posting sermons from our Sunday services to offer insights and interpretations of Scripture and to help you connect biblical teachings to your daily life and circumstances. You may also watch our entire worship service online on Facebook or YouTube. This podcast was recorded on Sunday, May 25, 2025. Our guest preacher is Pastor Larry Donner.
And an introduction first. As Jesus talks of returning to the Father, he promises to send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will teach Jesus' followers and remind them of all that Jesus taught. Even more, those in whom God makes a home will experience a peace that overcomes fear. A reading according to John. Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As a pastor, I am also a teacher. As a church, this congregation, people who are trying to follow Jesus Christ, is also a school. Now, think of all the ways in which education takes place in here. What do you have? You have Bible studies, right? Vacation Bible School, Sunday morning discussion groups, classes led by this crazy character here in the front row on First Peter, of all things. I don't know how you chose that. It was just amazing. And sometimes short-term courses, you know, all the rest, including, arguably, even sermons, of all things. But frankly, study about religion is not everyone's cup of tea. Religious education can be confusing with all the strange words that are bounced around, like sanctification and justification and atonement and reconciliation, eschatology, hermeneutics. I mean, who in the world, besides pastors, uses words like that? And then there's also so many different points of view. Who is to say which one is right and which one is wrong? And then there's the Bible. I mean, the Bible. A few people wander into a bookstore and say, "Okay, please give me a book that is 2,000 years old and was written by dozens, maybe hundreds of different authors, all of whom lived in a culture very different from our own and spoke a language very different, languages very different from mine, because I'm going to go to the beach for a week and I want to have a good read while I sit in the sand, right?" So ancient, strange, confusing to comprehend, difficult to comprehend. It's no wonder that many people, having once picked up the Bible to read it, quickly cast it aside and move on to some more congenial reading. But then again, of course, that's why this congregation understands the need for Bible study, right? That being said, I have met people who are almost insulted by the notion that they ought to read and study and dig really deep into Scripture in order to be better Christians. And religion is something of the heart, they say. It's not a head trip, it's a soul trip. And they say, Jesus didn't give us theological lectures. He told simple, everyday stories. You don't need a PhD to be a saved Christian. And that's the trouble with you preachers. See, we've been friends for like 40-some years, and I always like to point at him if I can. That's the trouble with you preachers. You try to complicate the simple, straightforward religion of Jesus. That's what people say. And there's more than a bit of truth in what they say. But only a bit. The trouble is, from what I've observed as a pastor, all this talk about faith and simple faith and childlike trust, religion of the heart rather than religion of the mind, tends to be the first victim when life gets tough. It's not us preachers with our long, pompous, stupefying sermons that make Christianity difficult to figure out. It is life. Life laid next to the claims of the Christian faith that make it an intellectual muddle. Now, I remember a number of years ago when we were at war in Afghanistan, and I remember that because at the time, one of my associate pastors, who was a chaplain in the Army Reserves, had been activated, and he was over there serving. But during that time, there was also this terrible earthquake, and thousands of people were killed. Do you remember that? On top of all that sad land had been through, years of Taliban rule and devastating war, an earthquake. And I heard one person of my congregation say, "You see, they're being punished by God. It's divine retribution for what they did to us." "Haven't those people already suffered enough?" said another person of the congregation. Pouring more pain into an already terrible situation really makes you question the goodness of God. And yet another person said, "It's not a matter of right and wrong, or a matter of God, for that matter. It's just rotten luck. Earthquakes happen sometimes here, sometimes there. Don't make so much out of it." Did you see? Suddenly, everyone becomes a theologian. Anytime life makes us ask why, or as we Christians might put it, why God, you are on your way to wrestling with the very deepest dilemmas of life. You become a theologian. And how do you do that? Well, we've already admitted that religious matters can be very complicated. And haven't we agreed that the Bible is a tough book to read, much less to understand? So how in the world could people like us, without advanced theological training, as ignorant of biblical Hebrew and Greek as can be, I mean, how can people like us think through such matters on our own? On our own? Oh, well, we will think through these matters. As I said, life has a way of making theologians of us all, whether we want to be or not. But do we have to do that all by ourselves, all on our own? In today's gospel, Jesus is preparing to leave his disciples. He's been at table with his 12 best friends for their final meal. And now he tells them he's going away. He's going to his death on a cross. Thus, what we thought was to be a joyous Passover meal is becoming a sad Last Supper, a mournful last meal before a terrible departure. But as Jesus leaves his disciples, he tells them that he will not leave them comfortless. He will not leave them alone. He will not leave them to their own devices. He doesn't say to them, "I'm going to leave you, but I want you to think hard and try to remember everything I've ever taught you. So each morning, get up and go over the words of my Sermon on the Mountain, word for word, so that you don't forget it, so you'll have all my teachings at your fingertips when you need it." And he doesn't tell them, John, I want you to get busy now and write a book. Call it the Gospel According to John. And that way everyone will have my words, just like I spoke them to you. And anytime you're in trouble, having some difficulty, wanting to know my take on any given situation, you can just open up the book and turn to the right verse, and it'll be just like I'm with you. I mean, just you can just look it up. And he also doesn't say, now I'm going to appoint Peter as disciple number one, and John, you can be disciple number two, and the rest of you, well, you'll need to submit to and obediently obey numbers one and number two, because they're going to be in charge when I leave. And anytime you have some question, you can just go to number one and he'll tell you everything that you ought to do. Now, Jesus says none of this as his disciples grieve his departure. But what he does tell them is that he's not going to leave them alone. He will leave, but he will give them a parakletos. A parakletos. He will give them the gift of the parakletos. Have you all ever met the parakletos? I think you have. In Greek, parakletos, sometimes we will say paraclete, but parakletos means literally to call alongside. Parakletos is one called alongside of us. It can have a variety of meanings, and so different translations of this passage from John's Gospel have translated into English as counselor, advocate, comforter, or instructor, and there's something to be said for any of them. The important thing is that Jesus promises them another, one who would be called to walk alongside his followers wherever they go. That is, it is the parakletos. In our passage today, parakletos is translated as advocate, and advocate is capitalized because it is the proper name of someone. Jesus says, yes, I am leaving you, but don't feel like an orphan. I'm going to send you my friend, my presence, parakletos, the advocate. And he will remind you of all that I've tried to teach you while I've been with you. He'll explain it to you. He has been called to walk beside you and to teach you. Jesus is departing, but on his departure, he promises the gift of the parakletos. Joyce and I were in Vienna a couple of years ago on a riverboat cruise tour, and that was our first place from where we started. And our ship provided this little map to help us navigate around the city should we want to walk around on our own, as Joyce and I always like to do. So we took the map out and we ventured forth, but this map is really pretty wonky. There's nothing was in proportion. A number of streets were just missing from the map altogether, and we found that we were just utterly confused by it and always lost. We spent hours trying to figure out which way to go. We're standing at intersections, and do we turn left here or right, or do we go forward? We didn't know. The next day, we signed up for a walking tour of the town that was led by a man who had lived in Vienna all of his life, and it was wonderful, wonderful. He took our little group through lovely little parks and into historic buildings, pointing out things about his city that there was no way we could have seen or known about if we'd been on our own, even with the best of guidebooks in our hands. There is no substitute for walking with an experienced, gifted teacher, someone who personally points the way, a parakletos. And that's what Jesus promises us. We are now after Easter, but was it not wonderful to be here on Easter Sunday with the music and the crowd and the strong sense of Christ's presence among us. So it is easy to say at the conclusion of the Easter Sunday service, I believe, I got it. But what about now? 5 Sundays after Easter. What about after we've put away the trumpets and the guitars and the lilies have wilted and Christ's presence becomes his absence? I mean, what about then? Then, promises today's gospel, there is the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit who walks beside us, with us, teaching us. There are a lot of good things that the Holy Spirit, this Paracletos, gives us, but please note that was particularly promised today in verse 26 is that the Paracletos will remind us. Some of the best education is that of reminding. A great deal of education is not simply putting into our brains something new that we previously did not know, but also reminding us of what we already knew. When we say, I got it, sometimes what we actually mean is, oh, now I remember. Plato taught that we are born with all of the great ideas implanted in our souls. Therefore, for him, a teacher is a midwife who helps give birth to those ideas, to enable us to recall what we already know, to remember. You have experienced, I expect, the work of the Paracletos in your life. Are there not those moments, and wonderful they are, when you're reading a passage of Scripture, perhaps a passage you've perused a dozen times before, and then while reading, something in the text just kind of jumps out at you and shakes you and grabs you as never before, and you say to yourself, I've read this passage a dozen times and I've never seen that before. Ah. But maybe you have seen it before. And maybe what you mean is, now I remember, as if seeing for the first time what this means. Well, that is the Paracletos working in your life. Or you go through a tough time in your life. For days you've been in some dark, deserted valley. You've not known which way to turn. And in your pain, you have asked questions like, where is God? Is there a God? And if there is a God, does this God really care about me? But then, here in worship, through the music or the scriptures, or incredible as that may seem, even in the sermon, you have said, yes, now I know. Now I remember. For a while, due to my troubles, I almost forgot. But now I remember I am a child of God, precious to God, held by God in loving embrace. Well, thank God that Jesus called the Paracletos to walk alongside you. And as you all here walk through these days at Resurrection Lutheran, trying to discern where God's calling you to go in the coming months, seeking a new pastor, perhaps a new vision for your ministry, take comfort in the fact that the Paracletos is here to guide you, to lead you, and to assure you that you are not left to your own devices. And so, think of Sunday worship at its best as the extended work of the Paracletos. You know, you get dressed and you come here to worship these Sundays after Easter to remember and to recall, to recollect the risen Jesus Christ. Life being what it is, there are so many occasions when we forget what we already know from Easter, namely that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Christ is risen, that he is risen indeed. And so we gather here on Sunday, and we sing the hymns, and we listen to the word, both read and proclaimed, and we ask the Parakletos to remind us. I will not leave you as orphans, Jesus said. To stand with us, speak to us, teach us, remind us, he has sent the Advocate, the Counselor, the Comforter, the Paraclete. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.